Once again, I went off my nut and just said, when you go to fix something within my child, don't you ever half-ass it again. Because if you had to fix the entire shunt within his body like you should have the first time, this wouldn't be happening. Welcome to the Jess Nahu podcast, where we delve into the heart of extraordinary stories, resilience, adversity, advocacy, and so much more. But I'm your host, Jess Nahu. Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Jess Nahu podcast. Today I want to talk to you about advocating for your child. As you know, if you've been listening to me along this journey, you would have heard bits and pieces about my son with Hawaiki and what he's been through and the continual instances that we get put through. And having a special needs child at its best is, yeah, you will definitely be put through lots of circumstances and situations. And something that actually just happened, I had recently asked our lawyers, as you may know, we have a court case against the hospital with him for medical negligence. And I had actually asked for all his documents and for his medical documents, because trying to get medical documents from your own child through the hospital is absolutely ridiculous in this country. I just have this vision of so many memories of when we were in hospital so much, and I would ask for that report and I would just get denied it. And so I would just go, well, I'm going to take a photograph of your computer screen with this on. And there were times where I was allowed, and then there were definitely times where I got told no. And then there were also times where I got told, I wish you wouldn't. So there's many different variations of it, but I just can't believe how hard it can be to get your own documents of your own child. It's just ridiculous. So I'd actually asked our lawyers if they could send me all the documents, because obviously I gave them access to all of Hawaiki's stuff. And I've honestly just uploaded some of the files, and I was just skimming through. They were just intake forms and stuff. And the one that stood out to me was severe brain damage. And so when Hawaiki was born and he had his first MRI, and I remember, I think I did an episode of this, and we were taken into a room and sat down, because we've been waiting on the results of this to happen, because we wanted to know what had actually happened. And they sat us down and they said, and I still remember the lady that told us, and she said to us that he has mild to moderate brain damage and he's going to be okay. And I still remember my heart dropping, like the whole scene just runs through my brain when I think about it and talk about it. And I asked questions of, so what's going to happen? What do we need to do? Blah, blah, blah. And she just kept saying, he's going to be fine. And thinking back to that time and now, and having this deep, innate knowing, whereas some, I guess, like to say emotional intelligence, I knew that something was wrong, and I knew that it wasn't just mild to moderate. And seeing the words just maybe an hour ago on all the documentation saying severe brain damage, that's really hard to see, I'm not going to lie, because my son is now 4.5 years old. So for 4.5 years, I've been living with the fact that my son, yes, had brain damage, but it was mild to moderate. I have not had to live with the fact that it was actually severe. Literally stated severe brain damage, and we were lied to, like outright lied to. I just cannot comprehend how doctors, surgeons, specialists can give you this whole utter crap of details when it is quite far from the truth. To what? To not let someone question or get information of their own child? Like, it just, I don't understand. I don't understand how we can be lied to. And I guess I'm so thankful for me trusting my own intuition back then and fighting for him so hard all this way. 4.5 years I've been fighting day in, day out, advocating for him. Because at the end of the day, your mother's intuition of your child, you are the biggest expert of that child. Not a GP, not a doctor, and not even someone that specializes in that field. Just like the many, many, many arguments that I've had with our neurosurgeons. Even I had a huge incident in ICU after he'd just come out of brain surgery because they didn't follow through with half of the plan. And I questioned him on it and I called him out. And at the end of it, it was because they hadn't done an MRI on another part of the brain, which I wanted to look at, because this part, it has a narrowing and it could possibly cut off the spinal fluid running down, which can then alternatively cut off limbs, movement, everything. So if we miss this, it's detrimental. It is detrimental to my son. And I still remember that time when what had happened, and I actually said to him, I said, "What would you do if this was your child?" And he just looked down and he looked up and he said to me, "Okay, you can have your MRI." Because sometimes I think they're so in their head of this is their job that they lose sight of reality and they lose sight of what the parent might be going through and they lose sight of everything that this child might actually be going through. So advocating for your child, if you feel there's something wrong, there's definitely something wrong, Mama. No one can ever tell you any different. Believe me, no one can ever tell you any different. Last year, we went on our first plane with Hawaiki, and we were flying with Jetstar from Gold Coast to Auckland. We were going back to New Zealand, and we had boarded the plane, sat down, and upon when we had booked this, we had filled out everything that we needed to fill out for our child, what he needed, supplied what all the details that they needed for him. And what we were waiting on was a infant strap for him because he is over 2. We had to book a seat. And even though he can be held because he can't hold himself up properly, but we had to book it. So we're waiting on the infant strap. And I remember going up to the lady on the plane and I said, "Oh, we're just waiting on a strap." She goes, "Yep, we're aware of you guys. We're just looking for one. It's coming." I'm like, "Okay, great." Sat back down. And then I'd seen flight attendants come in and out, numerous ones. And eventually, on the third time, they came up and she said to me, "I'm really sorry, but we have to remove you from this plane." And I was like, "I'm sorry, what?" She said, "We have to remove you from this plane now." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "We don't have an infant strap for your son." And I was like, "You don't have an infant strap?" I said, "Isn't that like a health and safety feature that you would need to have on your plane?" And she's like, "No one on the Gold Coast has one." And I'm just going, "What? This is insane." She said someone else had taken it. And I'm just thinking, surely every plane should have numerous infant straps because there could be numerous infants that need a strap on one flight. But she said the entire Gold Coast airport, no one had an infant strap. So then I'm just going, "Okay, how about we," I said, "well, that's okay." I said, "He can sit on my lap, just like the lady down the back is holding her baby." and he can sit on my lap. And she said, oh, how old is he? And I said, when was he? How old was he then? He was three. And she said, I'm sorry, no, he's over two. It goes against our policy. And I was like, I was quite getting irate by this time because I'm like, I don't give a flying bip about your policy. You can't provide what was stated, needed, and documented on our intake form when we first signed up to come on this flight. I'm not getting off this plane. And she just wouldn't let it go. And then my husband was like, honey, you need to calm down, because Vera was getting a bit upset. And it was just crazy. Like, even all the passengers around us were like, what the heck? What are you doing? You can't remove them from this plane. Because the way they handled it was absolutely shocking. And just going back to when she asked about his age, I said to her, he is three. And she's like, oh, you know, sorry, this goes against our policy. I said, hang on a second. Do you know what achondroplasia is? Have you seen him? And she goes, what do you mean? No, I don't. And I said, achondroplasia is dwarfism. He's the size of a one-year-old. She's like, no, sorry, it just, he's not, he's above two. He cannot sit on your lap. And I'm like, but he is the physical size of a one-year-old. He is the physical size of under two. And that just infuriated me, because they just had complete no understanding, and they didn't want to know about it. They just wanted us off their plane. So we got removed from the plane in front of everyone. Like, it was absolutely shocking. And then when we went back down to, because they go, oh, we've got to take you back down to try and find another flight. So we went back down to where we checked in, and I still remember the guy going, oh, you guys had a car seat, didn't you? And I'm like going, yes, and thinking, could you not have gone and gotten the car seat? As all your staff are now going to go get all of our luggage from the bottom of your plane, you could have just gone and got the car seat and brought it up to us on the plane. So we had to catch another flight, and it didn't go straight to Auckland. We had to go to Sydney first and then fly to Auckland. And that day was just horrible. We arrived 2 hours later than we were meant to. And it's just really stuck with me, with having to advocate once again for your child. And you get put into instances where sometimes it doesn't matter what's happened, you can't get out of it. Like, I couldn't change that situation no matter how much I tried, no matter how much I tried to educate on achondroplasia, dwarfism, and the size of my child. It just didn't matter. They were so ignorant and just did not want to understand or listen to what you're saying. So that was a really difficult situation. But something that will always stick with me, just always having to advocate for your child. But there's been so many times in hospital where I've had to advocate for my child. I had to call Ryan's Rule once, and it was because he was in hospital. It had been a very big stay. This is the stay where he had, I think, four emergency brain surgeries within 5 weeks, and a lot had happened in that time. And his pediatric team were worried about him because there was some stuff showing up in his blood, and they were trying to take bloods. They were trying to send someone down from, you know, ICU, who was the biggest professional ever, but he couldn't even get a line in my son. Like, his veins were just disappearing, and we couldn't get anything out of him. And his pediatrics actually wanted him sent to ICU. But they had actually sent up someone to try and put another line in him from ICU to try and take care of it. And I just absolutely called it. And I said, no one is touching my son again. Everyone has been trying to take bloods now. Like, he'd had so many attempts within a certain period of time. And I was like, no way. So I called Ryan's Rule because no one was listening. ICU didn't want him. even under the instruction of the pediatric team, and so I called Ryan's Rule. And the treatment that I got from the head doctor in ICU was absolutely disgraceful. I put in a complaint about this. I put in lots of complaints at the hospital because I feel every time that we're there, something goes wrong. And his attitude and the way that he treated me for calling it on my child who needed to be looked after was absolutely ridiculous and out of this world. So I'm glad that I did advocate for him once again, because he picked up within the next 24 hours and his bloods were back to normal. But there was stuff going on. He needed to be taken care of. He needed to be looked at. And as mothers, we are always our child's biggest expert, and no one can ever take that away from you. No one. No one can ever take that away from you. You know your child best. You are the one who sees them all the time and takes care of them and loves them endlessly. You are not a number to them. You are their expert. So I just wanted today to talk about advocating for your child. And if you ever come across a situation where you are like, I'm not sure, but I think something's wrong, just go with it. Just go with it. So I'm now going to tell you about an instance when Hawaiki, I felt, so he'd already had a shunt inserted in his brain, and there was this time where I just felt something in the tubing. So he has a shunt in his brain because there was too much fluid. He has hydrocephalus, and they put a object inside their brain and it drains the fluid, and it drains the fluid back into their tummy. But I could feel something happening in the part of it that was running down his neck. And I went in. I took him to emergency, to the hospital that he was being treated under. And they did a x-ray, like, there's nothing here. And I was like, you need to find deeper. I want a CT scan. So they ran a CT scan and they come back to me and they say, he's going in for emergency brain surgery. But it's not where you said it was. It was actually in the valve inside the brain that it was malfunctioning and it was starting to block. And I was like, okay. Thinking that they are just going to fix the entire thing. This led to then 3 months after that emergency brain surgery, he had, where I felt in the tubing on the side of his neck, he had this lump appear out the side of his neck. So we went straight in and they said that we're so sorry, where you said 3 months ago something was, we've now seen that it had been leaking fluid. And once again, I went off my nut and just said, when you go to fix something within my child, don't you ever half-ass it again. Because if you had to fix the entire shunt within his body like you should have the first time, this wouldn't be happening. And then what happened at that time was that was the four emergency brain surgeries within 5 weeks, because it was just all these little things that kept happening. But that was from my intuition, once again, advocating for my son. And they wouldn't listen to me. They have to find the evidence. So they found something, not where I've said it, but actually was there when they look back on it properly. So advocating for your child and knowing that you just know is your innate ability to understand what's going on with your baby. There's been so many times that I've had to advocate for my son, and it is quite unimaginable the amount of things that I've had to advocate for. But one thing I know is that I'm never going to worry about me not fighting for him. I'm never going to have to worry about missing something. I'm never going to have to worry about no one believing me, because whether they believe you or not, I know that I have continually and continually advocated for my baby, and There's been so many times that if I didn't trust my gut and I didn't advocate for my child, that he could have been lost. So mamas, whenever you feel something's wrong, always get it checked, because your intuition on your baby will always be correct. So thank you so much for listening. Lots of juicy details once again about Hawaiki, and, you know, finding out today that we were absolutely lied to about my son's brain damage. It's heart-wrenching, not going to lie. It is heart-wrenching finding out those details. But thank Christ, I'm fighting for him with this lawsuit, because I knew that day that what they did was wrong. And even though they lied to me, I didn't believe them. I trusted my gut instinct. And now I'm still fighting for him after 4.5 years this lawsuit's been going on. But hopefully we won't have too much longer. But I trusted my gut. I've advocated for him. And no matter what anyone has told me, I will never, ever back down until I know that he will have what he needs for the rest of his life. And that, hand on my heart, I can say I am proud of, because I don't quite know where we would be if I didn't trust my gut back when he was born and to pursue this court case against the hospital that he was born. So thank you all for joining. Thank you for your continual support. And I would love to hear from you. If you've got any questions at all, always reach out. And if you would like to be featured on our podcast, if you have a child going through special needs, neurodivergent, anything that you have experienced with your baby, reach out to me. I would love to have a chat. I hope you all have a lovely day, and I will check in soon. See ya.